is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly. And so was I. I asked myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on the respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change, in unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-389-3452 or 877-489-6350. Our direct line, same area code, 530-776-5144 or 776-5150. 5154 and 413-4511. It is truly an honor to be with you again this week. I am so excited and thrilled about our guest for this evening, and I'm really looking forward and thirst to be able to share our great guest for this evening with all of you. But before we get started on the show for this evening, I'd like to personally invite each and every one of you onto my show page with bbsradio.com. As many of you are aware of, I have a wealth of information about our guest. I'd like to invite all of you to explore, take your time. You may want to even take some notes because I'm in a very, very refreshing and an amazing twist of great information that has been shared with each and every one of us worldwide. I'd like to share a bit of information about our guest for this evening with each of you. Our title for tonight is Pursuing Happiness. What's Missing the Human Factor? The title of our book for this evening is Men, the Gods of Love. Now, our guest has also made personal appearances on CNN, Oprah and Friends, New York Times, and Chicago Tribune. And those are just a few of how he has been so passionate about getting his message out to each and every one of us. But our guest's name for this evening is Dr. David Ingram. His purpose is to change the paradigm by which we all play out our lives. He has earned a PhD in transpersonal psychology, earned an advanced clinical hypnotherapist certification, including 420 hours in advanced hypnotherapy training. He is a certified breath release therapist and also a past life regression therapist. So without further delay, let's all give David a warm welcome to the show. Aloha, David.
Aloha to you.
I am so amazed of all the great works that you are actually doing out there, and you must travel a lot.
Oh, I get around.
Yes, you do, matter of fact. Well, tell us a little bit more about you, David, because I know there's so much more to you, and I want to remind our listeners, please, there's a lot of wealth of information on the radio show with BBS Radio. So please, David.
Well, I live in South Florida, and I write. Basically, I write about my passion, which is what I speak about, which is really my purpose in life, which is to change the underlying group model, role model, or paradigm by which we're all taught and we live by. It's the patriarchal paradigm, and what it does is it harms us. It prevents us from actually ever getting to happiness because we're told separate from that. And so my life has become really purpose-driven, and that purpose is to say, hey, stop the insanity. It's not you, it's what you've been taught to be. For example, big boys don't cry, shut your feelings down for men. We all have heard of that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it tells men there's something wrong with parts of them, and they feel ashamed of that, and they shut off from those emotions. And, of course, it's really difficult to be a loving, fully feeling being when you've been told emotions are wrong.
Absolutely.
That's what needs to change.
You bet. Well, I understand that you actually won your award-winning on Men, the Gods of Love. I know as I did my research, you have a profound message that you're actually sharing some very intimate understandings of how we can propel ourselves to a higher level of understanding, and how the way we were programmed or brought up has really affected our lives. As an example, is where you said, you know, big men don't cry, right?
Big boys don't cry, exactly. And the reverse is actually true for women. They were, you know, men have been told, disconnect from your feelings because they're harmful and weak and all these other things, the feminine within. Women have been told the opposite, the intentionality, the focus, the mental, rational part, which is the masculine energy within a woman, has also been made to be, shameful. So women become emotional creatures, and men become mental creatures, and in reality, we're all been told to disassociate or cut off a part of ourselves, and that's crazy.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I was reflecting on my own path and journey in this lifetime, and I found so much of myself within a lot of your writings and, you know, interacting with a lot of men and throughout the years. I've also noticed where, you know, they had to be the big man. They weren't allowed to show those feelings. So let me ask you tonight, David, why is that so important for us to really, in a very healthy, balanced way, get in touch with our feelings and being able to express them in a very healthy way?
Well, you know, if we're expressing feelings, which are part of who you are, it's something that is critical for yourself, because you have to live in the truth from within. Before you forget about the outside world, it's all about what's happening on the inside. Now, if you've said to yourself or been trained to disassociate from parts of yourself, to disconnect, then, you know, it's like you're walking around on one leg, you know, hopping around going, well, this is normal. It's not. And, you know, you have two legs, use them. And God made us that way. And there's a reason. And for us to disconnect from those things is crazy. And that's what it leaves us being. And if you look at men, what do women complain about with men? They're heartless, they're unfeeling, they haven't a clue. You know, there's so many things that you've heard along those lines, but the reality is it's just because they're disconnected from their feelings, and they're kind of stuck there because they go, wait a second, you want me to fix this, but I have to take on the feelings that I was told was shameful because I was told that's the way I have to be for women. And so, you know, you're between that rock and a hard place, not knowing which way to go, what to do, how to be fulfilled, how to be happy, how to create relationship. Good Lord, forget about relationship. You know, because relationships require feelings. So, you know, if men have been told, you know, to disassociate from feelings, well, there goes the relationships and what they've been given, what they've been offered as a surrogate for all their emotions. And I will give you one caveat. They are allowed one emotion, and that's anger. That's the only emotion that it's legitimate for men to have, and nobody thinks less of them for. But the other emotion that they use as a surrogate is sex. And sex replaces everything. That's why for men it's such a hugely important thing, because I can't say to you I'm feeling scared, lonely, helpless, powerless, any of those things. I that's not manly. I have to suck it up and be a man. But of course those feelings are all inside every man. So what he does is, instead of saying, hey, I'm feeling those things, can I have a hug, will you hold me? He'll say, come on, let's have sex. And behind your back and mine and his, he's getting his hugs.
And yes. And he's actually, and he's really searching to fill up an emptiness, a void, which is being connected to his real feelings and being able to express them in a very healthy and balanced way without feeling, less of a man. And
right.
And it's the same as for a woman as well. It's really interesting, because as I was growing up and stepping into adulthood, you know, that was one of the first things that I had observed with the men, is that, you know, they spent a lot of time, you know, searching and identifying that, you know, it was sex is what brought that form of connection for them. So let me ask you this then, David. What is it that we can do as women to help the men give themselves the permission to get more in touch with their own feelings?
Well, you know, that's going to be, obviously have to be tailored to the individual person. However, I will say that no matter what you do, it's going to have to be with patience, because you have to realize that these people have spent their lives being trained one way, and you need to help them, you know, emotionally. Men are like children. You know, if that's a playground, they don't know. They don't know how to do this, and they feel extremely uncomfortable by it, so you have to invite it out of them. And, you know, it's interesting. I've heard women say, but it's so difficult. I go, you know, it's funny. I've noticed that women seem to get what they want from men in the, you know, I want this, I want that trinket, or I want that, or I want to do this. But somehow they can't get the men to allow out their emotions. I think they're just not trying, and the reason they're not trying is because they don't understand, you know, or at least part of it is because they don't understand that it's actually a training of, in the men, and that they need to help them by allowing it, by offering it, by... but not demanding it. You cannot not demand that out of a man. You demand it from a man, you close him up immediately. So, and sometimes it may be frustrating, and it may, you know, it's like, damn it, why don't you just feel, you know? Well, you just took 10 steps backwards, you know, because the reason he doesn't feel is because he was told he was supposed to be this way for you. So
pardon me for the interjection here, but is that sure. When us women will say men crawl into their caves?
Yes, that's exactly it. They look right. The cave is the withdrawal place, the part where they go into themselves, into their minds, and they just shut down and they just don't deal with it because, you know, that's all you're allowed to do. You know, I'm supposed to be the knight in shining armor. And, you know, have you ever seen a knight in shining armor crying? Can you even imagine the knight in shining armor crying?
Well, I haven't met one yet, but I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, but if you think about it, right, but if you think about it, the image of the knight in shining armor precludes crying. Now, however, it's easy to imagine him going off into the corner and drinking himself into oblivion.
Yes.
That's okay, or chasing maidens, fair maidens, and having sex to distract himself, you know. And so that's the real key.
As you were sharing these wise words with all of us this evening, one of the main key elements that came to mind is learning to really communicate, and two is being honest with self, truth. What are your
Absolutely.
Thoughts on that?
Well, that is the key to everything. Truth is, it's about living in the truth, and the first person you got to be living in the truth with is yourself, and you have to know yourself. And not only do men need to know themselves, which includes knowing the places that they've been told are wrong and shameful, so do women. But women don't understand that part. They don't see that part as missing within themselves. Because what's interesting is, and I can tell you from my own personal experiences, you know, when I was younger, I understood what all the guys say is, you can't live with them, you can't live without them, they're all crazy. There's nothing we can do to ever deal with them. You know, we would look at each other, why did they just do that? And it would be like, you know, because they're women, you know? And we would have no clue why. And what happened is I started to do this work for myself, because all of my training was experiential. It was required in the training that I went through all of this. And, you know, what I wound up being able to do is reconnect those parts of myself that I had disassociated from, that I had disconnected. And, you know, all of a sudden women became very easy to understand. I don't find them hard at all. They're super easy. It's just that it's all about emotions and about emotions. Why did they change their mind? Because the emotion hit the wall and just turned directions, because that's what emotions do. Emotionality has an aspect of chaos to it. It's almost like little molecules in a jar. They just bounce off the sides of the jar back and forth, hit each other. Things change for emotional reasons. Now, women understand that, and they don't take that personally. Men go, wait a second, didn't we just decide this? How did we get to here? And they go, you know, women look at you like, what do you mean? Why? Because my emotions said so. And the men are going, huh? Well, that's because they're disconnected from theirs, and they don't understand that. And what they're really looking at, too, which there is some validity to that concern there, is they're looking at when women go to the extreme of disconnecting from their rationality, the rational, the masculine energy within a woman is what focuses her incredible abilities to go in every direction, unlimited vision. A woman can touch the face of God, but the problem is without her inner masculine rational aspect to focus all of that, it looks like emotional chaos. But when you have that imbalance, all of a sudden it becomes wisdom. And
yes.
So those are the concepts behind my books. The second one, of course, is Women, the Gods of Wisdom, and that's exactly what I'm saying. And the first one, Men, the Gods of Love, is about men finding their power from their love, not from their will.
Ooh, I like that. I like that, David. That's a very powerful statement right there. I just wanted to invite all of our listeners to bbsradio.com. As many of you are aware of, we have a wealth of information about our guest this evening. He's an award-winning author of the book titled Men, the Gods of Love. If you would, David, and take this opportunity to share your website information with everyone this evening.
Sure. It's my name, David Eigen, E-I-G-E-N is the last name, and it's one word, davideigen.com. And it'll take you through my blogs, in fact, this radio show will be on it within the next day or two. I have videos and YouTubes there and a lot of writings that I do about all the different current topics that are all there. Plus, you can also link to the actual book sites. And you can read excerpts from the books themselves. And that'll be in the left-hand column. You'll see where it says book sites, and it'll give you the first two books. And you can go and read the chapters on them.
I find you absolutely amazing, David, and I really enjoy, and I spent hours and hours reading your information, and it really touched the core of my own soul. And where have you been, David? Because, I had to learn a lot of these things through trial and error, obviously, and I'm, just through my own walk of life and my interaction with men. But to be fair to the men as well, because through my own observation, I owned my own corporation for 19 years. And of course, I did a lot of the hiring within the company. And what I had observed working with other women is that we as women also need to find a healthy and balanced way as well to express our emotions, and also without creating blocks in our own communication when we're expressing ourselves. I'd like to hear what your own thoughts are in that regards.
Well, it's what I was saying earlier. Men are told to disassociate, to disconnect from their feminine feelings, their feeling side, their feeling nature. Women are taught to disconnect from their masculine, mental, rational nature. So what you've seen in women needing to learn how to express their emotions is the emotions can't be expressed without the mental, without the masculine within a woman. And so that needs to be handled in such a way that that you take on and you understand what you have there. And what's interesting is men, for example, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to repress that. Or women will do the same thing with their, I'm not going to do that. Well, those aspects are within you whether you like it or not. There's just no choice. And if you don't become conscious of them and use them for what they're supposed to be, which is part of yourself, for example, in women using their masculine energy to direct and focus your emotions, it'll start doing things on its own, and you won't even recognize what it's doing. And you'll not understand, what's happening here because you'll go, where did that come from? Well, that came from your inner parts, your shadow, your dark side, your kundalini energy, but it's been polluted and full of repressed energy. And if you don't deal with it, well, it's coming up and it's going to make a mess of things.
Ooh, that is one of the things I say to the people around me. Please do not ever ask me not to express my feelings. You know, and one of my pet peeves have been for a very long time is having that feeling of someone validating, not to say that it was right, wrong, or indifferent, but just to know that someone was validating my feelings.
Yes.
Because at the moment, they're real.
But you're right. Feelings, see, the difference is you have to recognize that feelings are real feelings. They're not necessarily reality.
That's correct.
And that's the difference. And women often get caught up with feelings becoming reality instead of going, oh, I'm having feelings about this, but they're not, they may have nothing to do with reality. They're just feelings. And they're perfectly fine, and they can be intuitive and directing and allow me to connect with other human beings and other things in life. However, there are also feelings that need to be balanced with the mental. But, you know, I'll give you an example of how these things work. I remember, maybe 8 years ago, my oldest daughter, I'm very close to my daughters, who are on the upper ends of teenage years. And my daughter and I, we watched the movie, we rented the movie, Pay It Forward. And I hadn't seen it, I didn't know what I was in for, what it was about, and we're watching this movie, and it was a great movie, and all of a sudden the end came. And, you know, it's a very sad end. And it just, I mean, I was like, oh my God, and I started crying, and I remember sitting there, my older daughter looks at me, and she goes, are you crying? And I'm looking at her going, yeah, that's what those things coming out of my eyes are. You know, I didn't say that to her. I'm just looking at her like, well, yeah. And she's like, well, you're a boy. You can't cry. And I went, what? Where did you get that from? Well, boys just don't cry. They're not supposed to cry. And I said, honey, let me help you with that. And we had a strong conversation about that. I said, no, you need to get rid of that thinking. I don't know where you got that from, but boys absolutely do cry, and if they don't, then they're damaging themselves. And I spent most of my life doing that, and I have worked very hard to and diligently to do that. Now, I'm not telling you I cry at the drop of a hat, but when something is moving to me, I can cry. But it's, you know, but here was my own daughter who I had very close relationships with, still do, you know, and she's looking at me like there's something wrong because I'm crying. So, you know, here's the very feedback that men get, you know, not to mention in the schoolyard when you're crying and the other boys are going, look at the cry baby, you know, whatever. this is just here, even the women think that. And my daughters were not brought up that way, so they got that from their peers. I was horrified when I saw that, and I made sure that got corrected quickly. But, you know, to give you an idea of, you know, and here she is living in a family where I talked with her, we had this communication, and, you know, we spent a lot of time together, but I guess I hadn't had the opportunity to cry in front of her. Hadn't needed to, and here was an opportunity, and she wasn't happy. She actually thought it was a bad thing that I was crying. And I'm going, oh, my God, is that what they're taught? And I said, yep, that's exactly what they're taught. And we need to break free from that, just as we need to teach women that the masculine, rational, focused thinking is not a bad thing. And when they look at men, they go, well, if I do that, that means I'm going to be heartless, because men, when they are rational and focused, they don't have feelings about it. They make decisions based in rationality without conscience, without feeling. And that is the negative aspect for masculinity if they don't have their balance. The same for women. It's the opposite. Both need to connect with it. Both need to be allowed to have that and realize how important it is. And also realize that when they don't, when they ignore it, when they deny it, when they repress it, they're only repressing what's already inside of themselves. And, you know, you can't do that. You know, you can, but it's like, as I mentioned earlier, you know, tying one foot up, and hopping around. You know, it's, someone else looks and you go, well, why don't you untie your foot and walk on both?
Absolutely.
Well, 'cause I was, you know, and that's exactly what it's like, and we've all done that. We've all tied up one of our foot our feet, and we're hopping around, going, "Oh, this is normal."
Well,
everybody else is doing it.
I'll put my hand up because I spent many years doing it myself, and I said, yeah. You know, this doesn't even feel good.
Right.
No,
it doesn't.
Really, It doesn't. It really doesn't. And then what's so interesting, David, is that when I wasn't able to have even at some level a relationship with myself, I started to observe the relationship I had outside of myself. And I have to tell you, that didn't look very good either.
No, that they don't. They're all everything outside of you is a reflection of your inside.
You bet it is. So
whatever is going on, you've got it.
That's right. So bring us into our external world and how that, you know, some of your own insights about our relationship with friends, family, even our jobs.
Well, you know, everything is a relationship, first of all. So whether you're talking about a lover, a loved one, a family member, someone you work with, someone you pass by in the street, a friend, everything is a relationship of varying degrees and connections. And, you know, to bring into that relationship only part of yourself harms the relationship, harms the other person, and obviously harms yourself, and you will never be fulfilled. And so the only way to get fulfillment is to have the connection with all of those parts so that you can offer that. And let me give you an example of sex as being, and when I say sex, I'm talking about what men call sex.
That's correct.
And that is where it has something to do with their male organ. I'll be nice for the air here.
And
that's all it's about. And that male organ connects with a female organ, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and that's what it's all about. And then they go off and, oh, yeah, that was good, that was great. But inside they know it wasn't great, and they don't know what's going on, so they look for the next fix and the next fix. And they keep trying to get a fix, trying to figure out what is it. Maybe if I find the right person, you know, or she wasn't the right person, or this one wasn't the right person, I guess going to keep on trying to find the right person to have the right sex with so I'll feel fulfilled. And what they miss is that the using of the connection of the organs is almost unimportant. It's the connection of the two human beings and their souls. And so if you've had sex where you've had connection with a human being and a soul, you know that it's almost masturbation to have it any other way. And in fact, I have found that when I've done that, and I, when my younger years did plenty of that, I actually found instead of being enhanced in my life feeling better, I actually felt worse. Something was uneasy inside. I'm going, my mind would go, well, I just had sex with a woman, I should be feeling great. And some part of me is going, how come I feel icky?
Yeah.
And I didn't get it until I finally figured out what was going on, and that was the same thing. I was looking for love in all the wrong places and thinking that it came from my little head, and it doesn't. And it comes from my heart. It comes from my connection to the heart and soul of the other person I'm with. And then all of a sudden, it moves from this mundane physical connection to a sacred connection. And that's what sex is about. It's a sacred connection between two souls.
That's right.
And that's what it needs to be. Where do you hear that kind of conversation? You know, you don't. And I'm like looking back, going, I wish someone had said that to me when I was a teenager. You know, but instead I was told, hey, listen, the more notches on your gun, the better. That's what it is, and that makes you a man. So I went out and notched up my gun good, and I'm like going, how come I'm a man, right?
Yes.
Right. Don't you guys get it? I'm a man.
And
it was like going, you know, and I'm going, but there's some part of me going, I haven't a clue what that means, or I don't feel good about it, but I'm a man. And that's where men are stuck in there. Like, they keep trying, you know, what do they say, you know, repeating the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And they don't know what they're doing wrong, except they'll blame the woman, because the woman, of course, obviously isn't giving them the fulfillment. She's withholding fulfillment. Well, no. It's that they're not connecting, and that no matter what the woman was willing and able to give and to do, if you can't allow that connection, well then, you know, you're not going to feel that fulfillment. You're going to feel like something's wrong. And that's exactly what this is about. And women, I have found what's interesting is, I thought that women were the, they're the ones who had the secrets about love and connection. And I have found that's not true. What I found is that women have are the commanders of emotionality.
Yes.
But love escapes them just like it escapes men.
Jeff, that's absolutely correct.
And what's missing is nobody understands, nobody discusses these things. How do you connect with another person's soul? How do you have that happen? You know, and nowadays with the abundance of overly sexual material, we see women starting to act sexually like men. And
yes, we do.
It's all about this, ride 'em cowboy kind of thing. You know, I want on top and I'm a ride cowboy. Yoo-hoo-hoo! And you go, oh, that's great. I'm that really looks like a soul connection to me.
And it's not. No.
No,
and
not at all.
And that's the number one key element is the heart connection. And the heart
absolutely.
Connection applies to everything in life. Everything.
Work. The person you pass on the street and give a smile to, and one speck of caring just for that little moment that you connect eyes is invaluable.
Yes.
They save a life. And also will save yours, because while you're doing that, you're reminding yourself that you are part of the universe and people, and we're all connected. And those little moments of connections are very important.
That's right.
You know that.
Oh, my goodness.
Kids.
Yes. Yes.
Now they look at
yes.
you and they give you that little smile and it like lights you up and it's like, wow. And, what was that magic? Well, what that magic was is not really magic. It's like, it's the normal state, and that kid just hasn't had it beaten out of them or taught out of them or twisted out of them or stifled or whatever you want to call it. So right now they're just in the open state of, hi. I'm here as a human being, and I'm here with you, and just for that moment, they can do that. Even though they can move on in a half a second, doesn't matter, they're there. Where other people, you can look at them, and you can have a 20-minute conversation and never felt the humanness of the person.
I'd like to read some comments from one of the listeners, and I really appreciate this these comments, and it's from Strong Shoulders, and the comment is, sex is too easily given out this generation. Kids say, I love you way too easily, and that's so true. Even in our own adult lives, I find that to be true as well. And of course, the next comment is, and expect the next step right away. And it's amazing to me because we have also lost the greater understanding of what love truly is. Unconditional love of acceptance of ourselves and for others around us and having that heart connection. One of my greatest joys is being on radio, connecting with all the listeners. And I can feel that heart connection with them, and that brings a lot of joy. I am filled up by that.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those.
That's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. That's just one of one of the great examples that I've incorporated in my own life. I did want to talk as well, David, about some of the tools that we may be able to utilize. I know is number one is, of course, is having a real heart connection with all our relationships. I would suspect number two would be direct communication with ourselves and with others. And so do you have any others that you might want to suggest to us as well?
Yeah, we left the word truth out of that.
Absolutely.
And all I can tell you is the most important thing is truth, and truth is part of love. And if you're not living in the truth and sharing the truth, then there is no connection, there is no love, there's just nothing. And it's required to be part of that. I mean, most people do not get how important that is. And you know, you be truthful with yourself. No matter what happens, be truthful. And I know sometimes it's expedient to not be truthful, but it's better to say, I don't choose to share that right now, or I don't feel that's necessary for me to communicate, than lie. And, you know, one of the things that I found that's so prevalent is, you know, these little, the term of white lie.
Yes.
You know, and white lies are, they're damning. We think they're white. They're really not. They're only white on the, they're black lies painted with white paint. They're not. They're darkness. They're, what they do is they tell you it's okay not to tell the truth. And inside, everything you do that's not of the truth, you know. We'll see or whatever. It's guaranteed everything that you've not told the truth about, your inside remembers that. And what's interesting is a direct connection to a direct relationship to your self-worth is you're telling
right.
the truth. And I have found that, you know, I tell the truth at 100%, and I have to tell the truth at 100% because I recognize, having come from a place of very low self-worth, that what keeps my self-worth at a high level that helps me feel fulfilled and okay in life is simply I tell the truth. And I've talked to people, they said, well, I tell like 90% of the truth, but you know, I want to keep this little secret area or my own little thing here. And I go, you know, when you don't tell the truth, some part of you knows that and it lowers your self-esteem. And if you've got any, and I'm not talking about the bravado, ego, you know, chest-pounding kind of self-esteem. I'm talking about that inner sense that feels good about oneself and in life. And you know what? None of us, there's no such thing as too much self-esteem, self-worth. So it's just simply tell the truth and then communicate it. Because most people, you know, when I hear the word communication, I go, well, we've got to get this honed down real clear because I know lots of people communicate. And, you know, or at least they make noise, this vibratory noise in the air, you know, but it's not communication. To me, communication is truthful connection, and you tell the truth, you do the best you can, and everything works a whole lot better. Relationships work, friendships, tell the truth, do the best you can.
And well, you know,
you'll find that life will change.
And you bet it will, too. You know, when I came here to the mainland, that was one of the first things that I learned is that we as people have a very difficult time accepting truth, not only about ourselves, but of each other, because we find a way to place judgment, we place blame on those things. Now, with that said, I had developed a very bad habit of lying. I actually learned how to lie because the people around me wasn't accepting of truth from me. And as I continued on with my life, I became a very unhappy, miserable person. And one day I woke up, David, and I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, what are you doing? This is not who you are. And I found it was a direct challenge for me to break the habit because I had literally had programmed that so much within myself that, of course, I had to stay very aware and on guard constantly of every action, every word that I chose to express. And but what I found as well is that we collectively have built a society of illusions and untruth. We see it in our corporations. We see it within our bank systems. I mean, it's everywhere. And as you and I both know, before our very eyes, we're actually seeing this old paradigm crumbling before our eyes, and we're stepping in and anchoring into the fifth dimension. And it's time for all of us to stand together in unity, we, not me, myself, and I, and allowing ourselves to fully express that ego part of self. What are some of your thoughts about the society that we have built?
Well, you know, right now we can talk about the wonderful state of the economy and how we got there. And if you look at how we got there by lies. And we started this. I mean, we've seen presidents lie. We've seen just, you know, an unbearable barrage of lies to where all society lies, because we've seen our leaders who are like daddy, and so they're our role models. And so we see everybody lying, so we figure it's okay to lie and to get whatever, I can say one thing, and meanwhile it's all about me getting as much as I can. And you can watch that in the people who took, who wrote horrible loans that they knew that the people couldn't pay, and filled them up in the bank's coffers and then sold them off on Wall Street as securities that were worthless, and that they've all collapsed like the house of cards that they were. And everybody knew this. Everybody knew this was going on, and nobody wanted to look at it. And it was so evident even 6 years ago. And, you know, I saw this happening. I saw it building up, and I'm going, what the hell is going on here? We're caught up in some sort of delusion where we think everything's okay. And as long as someone's saying everything's okay and it seems like we're making money, the fact that we look around at what's happening, like, you know, how many trillions in deficits and everything else, and writing loans that were ridiculous, and I just, you know, it was so clear that this crash was coming. And I remember I was at a lecture by Greenspan once at a book expo a couple of years ago, and he was talking about, you know, what he had to say, and it's all going to be fine, or whatever. I'm like, this guy, I mean, I could not believe that a man with his intelligence could be that caught up in the illusion. And of course, he's now, you know, gone on record of saying, well, I guess everything I believed for the last 40 years has been proven wrong. Going, yes. Oh, gee, thanks. You know, but the bottom line is that we all are part of this. You know, and I'm not talking about just the Bush lies, of which there are hundreds. I mean, even if you go back, you know, like Clinton, I didn't inhale and it wasn't sex. And it wasn't anybody's business to ask him that. And I, if he had been a real man, then what I call a man, he would have just said, don't ask me that damn question. It's none of your damn business.
That's correct.
And leave me alone. And, you know, that's between him and Hillary. But he didn't. And instead, what he chose to lie. And then, of course, that's what the whole, political thing was about. And I'm like, what a horrible thing to see him not standing up and being a powerful man. And that was the thing I found the most damning about what he did, most damaging, because it didn't give us as a role model, and all it did was, you know, gave ammunition to be attacked, to play this game back and forth, and it just made lies normative.
Well, that's another thing that we have gotten so used to, you know, is playing out a lot of drama. And, yeah. You know, I came from a background where, you know, I was kind of sheltered in so many ways, and so even today at the age of 52, I'm still very naive about a lot of things, and I will have to, you know, sit down and ask people, what does that mean? You know, can you explain those types of things to me and so forth? And it's time, I feel, and I know that we are returning to that, is simplifying our lives, having that heart connection, seeing and honoring not only ourselves, but everything around us with honor and respect and with integrity and with all those things that, you know, many of us actually grew up with in so many ways. I'm very grateful to my parents because these were a lot of the things that they instilled to me. Even though I went through my own challenges into my adult life, I always had that heart. My heart was always there. Thank goodness, because I sure could have made a real big mess, David.
Well, you know, I've disconnected from my heart. I've experienced that. I've disconnected from all the things and just try to do the male macho role. And, you know, we can see this in the American dream, where people have the American dream and all of a sudden the midlife crisis comes and they explode. And you know, the midlife crisis is really nothing more than a spiritual awakening. But of course, we're so disconnected from our spiritual selves, our heart connection, our inner self, that come time for a spiritual awakening, it seems like a crisis. And we start going out and doing crazy things. Been there, done that. You know, I'm 57 and I understand what that's about, and I watched myself go through that. And, you know, it all has to do with being disconnected. And there wasn't anybody that I didn't hear this conversation from people, and I had, like you, I learned it the hard way. And I decided that maybe now that I've gotten enough vision, enough wisdom here to understand what is the missing keys, because that was my big thing. I wanted to know why, you know, I had the American dream, the big house, the whatever, you know, the pretty wife, the two kids, and the new cars, and I felt miserable, and the only thing that brought me joy was my two kids. And, you know, and I didn't get it. Well, now I do. It was because I was disconnected from me, and there wasn't anybody to talk to about that.
Yes.
There wasn't anybody to even have that conversation with where, you know, if I started talking about it, people would look at me like, you're weird, you know? And, that's, no, they're weird. In fact, our society teaches us ways to disassociate, which is dissociative disease, is a clinical diagnosis, teaches us a way to be crazy. And I don't think that any one of us has never looked at the world and said, this is a crazy world. It is a crazy world, but it's a crazy world because we've been taught how to be crazy within it, and we do crazy things because we are disconnected from ourselves. And all it requires is just to stop and say, no, I'm going to balance both parts of myself. As a man, I'm going to take on my feeling feminine energy and still be a man. I'm a wonderful, a powerful man. Nobody has a question about that with me, and yet I have full access to my feelings. But I express them as a man would, which was different than as a woman does. And for a woman, the opposite. You know, she can take on her masculine energy and use that to focus her incredible abilities and to become the goddess of wisdom. And that's very simple, and yet it seems as though it was on another galaxy, you know, and it's not. It's right there. It's right in our heart. But I remember there's a story once about this secret, the key, the secret of life, and God was creating these new creatures called humans, and he wanted to hide this key from them till they were ready, and it was the secret to the key of life, so he... Do you know the story?
No, but please, go ahead.
Go ahead. He calls out to all the creatures who are going to be the caretakers of these new creatures, these humans, and where can we hide this? And one says, oh, give it to me, the dolphin says, I'll bring it to the depths of the ocean. No, they're going to go there one day. And so the eagle says, give it to me and I'll fly it to the moon. No, they're going to go there one day too. And then the final creature that perks up is the grandmother mole, and she pops up and she says, "Put it in their heart; they will never look there." And so it was done.
Ooh.
That's where the key to everything is.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, one of the things that many of the listeners hear me say all the time is that we are the expression, the voice of our hearts for every breath, every step we take. And I just wanted to remind all our listeners tonight is David has a PhD in transpersonal psychology, advanced clinical hypnotherapist certification, including 420 hours of advanced hypnotherapy training, certified breath release therapist, and a past life regression therapist. I did want to touch on this as well, David, is because I understand the empowerment behind breath release. I've done quite a bit of that myself, and that is extremely powerful to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's great stuff.
Absolutely. I'd like to invite all of you to even take a deep look at breath release. I know it has been very empowering for myself as an individual. I've been able to have the opportunity to move through a lot of things that plagued me for many, many years. And David, if any of our listeners tonight have any questions or thoughts that they would like to share with you personally, is there an area that they are able to go to and express their thoughts or ask you questions?
Sure. right on my website, there's a contact page, and you can send me an email right from the website.
Excellent. And I just wanted to let you all know that we do have those links up on my show page with BBS Radio for all those who are in Pal Talk. We have been continuously posting this information along with the title of David's book, Men, the Gods of Love. I'd like to personally invite all of you to really sit down and explore this very refreshing information that David is sharing with all of us. Many of you have expressed that you personally want to have an intimate relationship with self, with relationships outside of yourself, and this is a great medium to really get some deep insight on propelling you forward in your own life. We are getting close to the end of the show, David, so I'd like to give you this opportunity to share your thoughts on areas that we may not have necessarily brought forth tonight. And then once again, I'd like to share those website links also. So I'll turn it right over to you.
Okay. Well, first of all, you mentioned about your listeners wanting to develop intimate relationships with self and others. And all I can tell you is that the first person you have to have an intimate relationship with is yourself. And the vast, vast, vast majority of people have not a clue. So take that for what it is and breathe on it, think about it, pull it into your heart, and really ask yourself truthfully what's going on, what are my motivations, who am I, what do I need, and find out what's going on in that inside of you, that incredible wellspring that's yours. And when you see stuff that comes up that you don't like, breathe on it, bring a light to it, and release it. Don't dismiss it, because it's part of it. We all have those dark areas. We all have that stuff. And so it's okay. Just know it's there and release it and bring light to it. And accept it for what it is, and then you'll be able to use that power cleansed to create that dynamic human being that you are, and then to have that relationship. Because it really is about that. And you'll be able to enter into the sacred dance, which is what relationship is.
That's
and,
right.
That is actually the title of my third book, which is as of yet unwritten. But it's about the fact that when we work together, we work in a partnership. It's different. We have different roles, male, female roles. But the partnership is a give and take, and it's a continually shifting focus. And both have to be aware of that. And often people get caught up in their own, entrenched in their own camp. This is my camp, that's your camp, and that's it. And that doesn't work.
That's
right. We need to create deep, intimate connections. And I'll leave you with this very important definition of intimacy. Intimacy is into me see.
Ooh, so,
all about seeing me. When I'm intimate with somebody, I am vulnerable and I let them see me. And I share me and I invite and look for them sharing who they are. And that sharing is the intimacy.
That's right.
And that's the most important part. That's
well, we have been truly honored to have you as our guest for this evening. Keep us posted, David. Let us know what's going on with you, and we'd love to have you back on the show. I personally find your work very refreshing. I love the twist. You've really, really have done your homework on bringing forth some really awesome information for all of us to be able to utilize in our own lives. And remember this, all of you that are out there listening, because you are great leaders. You are great stewards of yourselves. You are the empowerment and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. Say yes to you. Allow every breath, every step that you take, be that expression of the voice of your hearts. Be kind to yourselves and to others. Thank you, David. It has been an honor to have you with us.
My pleasure.
And good
thank
night.
Thank you for having me.
It has been. Thank you. And I want to say good night to all of you. God bless to each and every one of you. Good night.
all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?